Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2 and also in John chapter 1. We had been talking about a few folks on Sunday mornings that missed out on Christmas. And we've talked around these three gentlemen, or who we believe to be three gentlemen, for the last couple of weeks. And now we're going to talk about the wise men and how they didn't miss out on Christmas and their response. But before we get into that, just want to share with you a few things to put things into perspective. I have them here on my phone, and I'm of that weird generation that has been dubbed the in-betweeners, whereas we can read and write in cursive, and we can somewhat decipher texting lingo. We're becoming a dying breed, but nonetheless, so I will attempt to work this smartphone. If it were so smart, it would work itself, but that's for another day. Messages here, letters to Santa, because, you know, Santa's a pretty nice guy. He gets a lot of credit, and we certainly want to give him credit due this morning. Dear Santa, and this is from Elisha, I wanted to tell you I am fine. I don't know, but if you could possibly turn me into a dragon. Please, and all written out, please. Or a pet dragon, either one would do, though I would like very much to be a dragon. P.S. Happy Valentine's Day. This one is from Archie. Dear Santa, I have been a good boy. You know that's a lie. You know that's a lie. On my list, I have got DS games and Indiana Jones Legos and some other Wii games. P.S. Mommy says you're fat. I think he was trying to get somebody in trouble. Now, this one is from a family, Alex, Anna, Katerina, and Brian, and they all chipped in on this letter. Dear Santa, we think you might be poisoned by the cookies, so don't eat them. Mom went wrong somewhere. This is our first year with Callie, our new cat. I don't know if that has to do with the cookies or not, by the way. Yeah. Please put her presents in the stocking with the dog on it. As you might know, Maddie, our dog, has passed away. So please don't try to remind Mom or she will break down sobbing. We've all been very good this year. We hope that you don't have a bad ride. Signed, Alex, Anna, Katerina, and Brian. P.S. I am a very good boy. And then P.P.S., and this is from Anna. Santa, you are the best ever. Isn't it amazing how kids try to butter up those people that they feel they may be indebted to? But those children wrote those letters with all of their naivety, all of their innocence, and sometimes none of their innocence, but all of their person, so that they could not miss out on a very important day. We've all been there, that wishful night's sleep that you know you're not going to get as a kid waiting for Christmas morning. And even some of you might even have done this in the past. I found out this last night that I had some kids that snuck in trying to catch Santa, eating the cookies and stuff. But we've all been there waiting for that night. And as we take that same emotion and that same feeling, I would have you to put it upon the wise men as they've traveled many, many months, having seen a star and gleaned its meaning from prayer and from ancient writings that you and I would know as the Old Testament. And as they traveled afar by camel and by caravan to get to this place, following a star that moves, trying to find this one that is going to be born King of the Jews. I'm in Matthew chapter 2, and if you wouldn't mind, let's stand as we read God's Word, verses 1 through 12 once more. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes, and all the people asked them, "Where is the Messiah would be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judah," they told him, "Judea, but because this is what is written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, because out of you will become a leader who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly summoned the wise men and asked them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, report back to me so that I too may go and worship him." And after hearing the king, they went on their way. And there it was, the star that they had seen in the east. And it led them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed beyond measure. And entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And falling to their knees, they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Father, we do thank you for this gift that you have presented us. However unworthy recipients we may be, we thank you for the grace that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, as he has come this morning. Father, is a means of redemption for all mankind. And it's in his name that we do pray. Amen. Just want to share just a few brief things with you. Four of them, as a matter of fact, as we look at these wise men and their response in how they didn't miss Christmas. The first one we see in verse 2 is that they came expecting to worship. There was an expectation, a purpose, as they left their homelands, as they packed their bags, as they gathered their servants and their livestock, as they made their plans to travel, as they planned their route, as they looked for the star. And by the way, when you can only travel at night, it makes things difficult, especially in barren lands, which they traveled, very cold, but making a tent during the day. And so as these men came, they had an expectation because they knew that there was something different about this kind of king. There's been many kings born since, many kings born in that day, and many kings that would be born after. But we only have these recorded because there was something special about this king, and they knew it. Because he was born to be worshipped. He was the creator of all good things, the scripture will tell us. And so they packed their bags, they got their band together, and off they went on a fabulous road trip with the sole purpose of, at the destination that they would arrive, to worship this King of Kings, this Messiah, this Redeemer of mankind. And so as we look at it this fine Christmas morning, as we still muddle it around in the back of our brains, still thinking about the gifts we received, or maybe if you're like me, the gifts that you bought yourself and then acted surprised when you opened them, because that's what dads do after a while, because we become innately hard to buy for. Or as my wife says, we just buy it and then don't have anything at Christmas. But that's a whole other thing. Kids, it's because dads are bad and we get coal. But you didn't earn that from me. But they came purposefully to worship. In everything that you and I do, we're supposed to, as Paul would tell us, do it for Christ. As we're doing it for Christ. Whether it's making cookies for our neighbor, praying for someone in the hospital, attending church, going to work. All of these things fall under our responsibility to do them as an act of worship to this King of Kings. John chapter 1 tells us why this king is worthy to be worshipped. I could go on. There have been books written trying to explain the glory of God. Do you know that we still, as theologians, 2,000 years, and even more as we look at the history of the Old Testament, can't explain with any exactness what it means to be created in the image of God? That's just us. Let alone when we look at the expanse of God's character and who He is. We see Moses as he hides in the cleft, where he only just sees the passing glory of God. And so to explain to you ever so briefly why this king is worth worship, I would do him a great disservice. So I'll just let him. In John chapter 1, the gospel writer, John the Apostle's version of the Christmas story. In John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, John says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning, and all things were created through Him. And apart from Him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in Him, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. And there was a man named John who was sent from God, and he came as a witness to testify about this light, much like the wise men. And so all that might believe through him. And he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light who gives light to everyone was coming into this world, which you and I celebrate this morning. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, yet the world did not recognize him. And he came to his own, and all of his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, or of the will of flesh, or of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and took residence among us," or dwelt among us. "And we observed his glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth." This is why this king was different. He is the creator of all things. He is the giver of life. All that we have. But even more than that, we see in John chapter 1 that John felt it important that as he talked about Christmas, if you will, the indwelling of Jesus in flesh given to us, that the purpose was so that he would give us the right to be called the children of God. A right we and I don't deserve or can't earn because of who we are and what we've done and our sinful nature as it permeates us and our culture. But when Jesus comes, we are born out of His will, not the will of men or our desire to be good or to earn that favor. It says He has given us the right, that beautiful gift. And that is what that baby in the manger means. As those wise men finally find Bethlehem and as they enter into that place where Mary and Joseph have the baby, that baby was the right for you and I to become the children of God. That we might be His children. We also see in verse 11 that when they finally discovered Jesus, they did something very important. Verse 11 says they fell on their knees. This is an act of devotion, an act of worship, of submission. So many times we try to worship Jesus firmly planted upon our feet. And we live our lives, so to speak, especially you and I as Southern people, pulling up ourselves by our own bootstraps. Well, these wise men could probably make that claim. Their many years spent in study, their travel, their wisdom, their devotion, all of the things that they could have listed that were beneficial to their character. And yet when they enter into the place of King of Kings, their only response is to fall on their knees. You and I are not half as good as we think we are. Probably much less. But when this King of Kings, and we enter into it, and we recognize Him as the right to be called the children of God, our only act of devotion, our only act of worship should be that act of submission as we fall to our knees. Because our life is not our own anymore. We've been bought by a price that this child would become a man who would give himself for us. He is that gift, if you will, that keeps on giving. There's no infomercial that will last long enough that we could see it late hours of the night that would ever be able to compare to what this gift gives us. And so they fell to their knees, and that's our response. They didn't miss out on Christmas because they were devoted and submitted to it. Are we going to miss out on Christmas even though it's Christmas Day? What about next week when it's New Year's and we make our resolutions? that none of us intend to keep, by the way. Matter of fact, that's my New Year's resolution, to not keep them. I'm not sure how it'll work out. But we make these promises, we make these plans. Now, it's all fine and dandy as our children and our grandchildren and our loved ones open their gifts and to sit here in these pews this morning and think about Christ now. But when New Year's comes, or when that first day back to work comes, or first day back to school, or any other day, are we going to be falling on our knees daily following this right to be called children of God? We also see in verse 11, they responded by presenting him with gifts. All that they had was given as an act. We often talk about tithes. We often talk about offerings. We often talk about gifts of service. What are you presenting Jesus? In a Jewish festival that observed today, Hanukkah, they have an empty seat during their meals together as family. This empty seat is supposed to be for the Messiah, the coming Messiah. Now, you and I read in John chapter 1 and seeing here in Matthew chapter 2 that this Messiah has come and they didn't recognize him. But the premise is still true. How many of you have a gift, if you will, reserved for this King of Kings? This Lord of Lords, this Prince of Peace, this everlasting Father that you and I present. There's only one gift that has ever been acceptable in the eyes of God, and that is all of us. Matter of fact, we see all in the Old Testament, many times in the New, people just try to half-heartedly give, or give a little bit, or to give some, or to give when it was convenient of themselves. And every time they were met with a disappointed God who was like, I asked for everything, not just 90% or half or whatever percent you might feel like you could give that certain day. They presented him gifts as an act of worship. There is only one gift that you and I will ever be able to bring to lay satisfactory at this altar to this small child, and that is the gift of ourselves. Jesus would go on to say in Luke that if we wanted to follow him, we would have to take up our cross and die to ourselves. That's that gift that Jesus was talking about. That giving of ourselves to something greater than ourselves. To the one who creates the universe. To the one who speaks it into existence. To the one who comes to shed his blood that we might have the right to be called the children of God. And lastly, in verse 12, we see, warned in a dream, that they leave a different way. They left a different way. When you come into the presence of the King of Kings, it is expected that we leave differently, changed. Whereas they went a different route to avoid a trickster, if you will, a huckster in the form of King Herod. You and I are compelled to leave differently. Much like Paul on that road to Damascus, who meets this King of Kings. We're called to leave and to lead and to live differently. We can't be the same person who has been in the presence of the King of Kings than we were before we met him. Jesus is about change. You and I were once not children of God, but now the right has been given. When we take up that mantle, when we say, I accept that, or as the children might say, Jesus lives in my heart. Or as Paul might say it in the New Testament, for those who confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that he has raised him from the dead, then they too will be saved. Then we can't help but leave differently because we're not the same anymore. For those who've received that gift, that right to be called the children of God, then you can't be the children of someone else anymore. You have to be the children of God. What a great mantle. What a great and solemn privilege. What a blessing. this Jesus, this one that comes in the form of a baby that you and I celebrate as a gift giver. And that's why you and I celebrate by giving gifts to each other. It's because the ultimate gift has been given to us as a token of his love. And what does John 1 say? That he was full of grace and truth. That he came to lavish grace upon us, that we might know that we are loved by our God. Two questions to end with us this morning. Who did you come to worship today? Who did you come to worship? Could have been anything. Could have been nothing. Parents, I feel for you. I'm right there in the same boat. You're trying to make sure everything goes off without a hitch. Make sure your kids get all their clothes on, their hair's brushed, half of their teeth are brushed at least, and get them into the early service. So much going on this morning. But it's not just about just this morning. Who did you come to worship? Who is the one that is worthy of your worship? We could read John chapter 1 again, all of the greatness of our King of Kings. This one we would call Jesus the Christ. And lastly, how are you going to leave? Are you going to leave differently, having experienced, having been in his presence? If you can leave the same, having been in his presence, then you're the only person in history who can do that. You are something special. You're like a unicorn. You're that mythical creature that no one knew existed, but we all believed in. You're that one who could come into the presence of the creator of the universe, the giver and sustainer of life, the one who would die on the cross for you and I, and you could come into his presence and leave unchanged. You are the only person who could ever do that. Matter of fact, the scripture says that there are only two responses for those who come into his presence. They will either leave more jaded, more hard-hearted, as of Pharaoh, more stiff-necked, more stubborn as they leave in their presence, kind of a doubling down on it, or you will leave changed forever, being given the right to be called the children of God. Is that you this morning? Maybe you're visiting. Maybe you've got loved ones you've been opening presents with all this morning. But Jesus has something wonderful for you. A gift that will continue to give from this day to eternity. The gift of his blood. The gift of the right to be called the children of God. Maybe this is the morning that you need that gift. Maybe you're like me and you've been inundated and oversaturated with so many things this holiday and you feel that you haven't been in his presence and therefore can't live differently. Let this be the moment you stop and focus and rejoice and thank God for the gift that he has given to us. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the giver of all good things. That you, above all things, loved us so much that you sent us grace and truth and life in the form of a small baby in a backwoods town so many thousand years ago who would purchase for us freedom, who would come in truth and give everything on our behalf. Father, thank you for letting us be in your presence this morning. Inspire us to be different. Change us to be different. Father, as we come to this time of decision, let us focus on you, one who is worthy to be worshipped. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. This is your time of decision. Who will you worship this morning?